This is the NCARB podcast, where you get an inside look at licensure, regulation, and the initiatives shaping the future of architectural practice. I'm your host, Andy McIntyre, Vice President of Marketing and Communications at NCARB. And this season, we're diving into Pathways to Practice, NCARB's multi-year effort to rethink how architects become licensed.
Architecture is the hardware to the software of life, right? It is fundamentally about that interaction, and it makes life easier if we have a built environment that works.
Across 8 episodes, we'll explore how licensure got to where it is today and where it needs to go next. We talk with architects, educators, regulators, and NCARB leaders about education, experience, and the exam, and why each of those pillars is evolving.
And that portion of school where you go from conceptual to real is also really challenging. It's not something you're really gently moved into. It's kind of like you're doing something that's flowy and crazy, and all of a sudden, wait, you actually have to make this work.
You'll hear how the NCARB competency standard was developed, how research is shaping future licensure models, and what a more flexible, competency-based approach could mean for candidates from a wide range of backgrounds.
So we've seen that in our data as the number of reciprocal licenses starts to decrease a little bit, but that number of individuals who are licensed holds steady.
We also tackle the big questions. Why does licensure look the way it does today? Where do candidates face the biggest barriers? And how can we expand access without lowering standards?
Not everybody fits into the same mold. And so having different pathways to licensure, I think, is really important.
Whether you're a licensure candidate, an educator, a firm leader, or a regulator, this season offers clarity, context, and transparency into one of the most important conversations facing the profession.
Does this requirement to complete all divisions of the exam place an unfair burden on any one group or other?
This is Pathways to Practice, only on the NCARB podcast. Please follow the link in the show notes, subscribe now, and join us as we explore the future of architectural licensure.
Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to another bonus episode called She Builds Charrettes.
In these charrettes, we talk more about certain topics, make major announcements, and conduct interviews. Basically, She Builds Charrettes is our playground for anything outside of our normal, typical format.
Yes, right. So no need to worry. We are still doing our regular show. This is just a little extra razzle-dazzle to your regular podcast rotation. So for this charrette, we wanted to talk about our trip to Costa Rica last January. Yep, it's an anniversary episode.
Yeah. So actually, we recorded this episode for the first time months ago, probably almost a year ago. But my recording got screwed up and I sounded like I was underwater, so we had to throw that recording in the garbage.
Yeah, we wanted to make sure we have high quality recordings to you. So
for you.
And then, you know, like life was lifing, and we didn't get a chance to like re-record this episode until now. So now we're releasing it as a celebration of the 1 year anniversary of our trip to Costa Rica.
Yes. We had so much fun and did so many things, and we thought this could be a great opportunity to talk about this part arc venture and adventure that we took last year. But let's start at the beginning. Nerjiti, you already had planned to go to Costa Rica in 2023. What brought you there?
Well, my husband, Osman, is from Costa Rica, and we wanted this opportunity to visit my in-laws and to invite more family and friends to join us. Originally, my parents were going to come with us, but in the end, they couldn't. So it ended up being a She Builds podcast and friends trip, which made it still really special.
Yes. Like we've mentioned on every episode, we live all over the country. So whenever we get a chance to get together, it's always special. Any chance we can get to meet up, not just us three, but with our other friends as well, ooh, honey, we will try our darndest to make it happen.
Yes, we definitely try to take opportunities to see each other, and especially when they're in cool places like Costa Rica. So we've always used travel as a way to see our group of friends since leaving college.
Yep. It's something that folks are always impressed by. We are, you know, originally a group of 8 ladies, so a trip to come out of the group chat is a feat in itself. Fortunately, in every group trip, we need a planner, and that person is the one that typically comes up with the itinerary. And it doesn't necessarily need to be like detailed in any way, but it does need someone that does the research into where we are going, that can book all the things and can make the decisions of where we should go and when. Now, I am definitely not that person. Lizzie typically is that for us, but on this trip, we had actual Costa Ricans, or Ticos, to show us around. Nerjidi's husband, Osman. So Nerjidi, tell the folks what we did.
Well, Costa Rica is all about ecotourism. So we did nature hikes, hanging bridges. Lizzie and Jessica did zip lining. It's not for me, but they said it was cool. Watched lots of sunsets, enjoyed the local cuisine and home-cooked meals from my in-laws because they're the best. So I'm actually really lucky to have them. Yes.
Yeah, oh, they're so, so sweet.
They're the best. Oh, and my sister-in-law, Yara, surprised us with a comparsa one night. It was like this whole thing.
Oh my gosh. Right. We will have to like share it. They are so nice, your in-laws, and they're so welcoming. Also, yes, we have to shout out Yahara as well for lending us her home for our first nights and all of her hospitality, of course. And yeah, seeing all of the nature that folks found so beautiful was nice. And we also went to a sloth sanctuary and learned a lot.
Mm-hmm. Osman's family was so welcoming. It was really lovely to spend all that time with them and receive that great Costa Rican hospitality. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners, if you're ever looking for a place to stay in Punta Arenas, Costa Rica, look for Pura Vida Punta Arenas on Airbnb. Yara has the best place in all of the Puerto. Check out our show notes for a direct link.
Yeah, the house was great and the property even better. Definitely a good local place to stay. But I think the highlight of the trip was the mini arc venture that we got to take. Y'all, we have listeners and friends of the show that live in Costa Rica. One of them we've mentioned in one of our agoras, and she won a book when we did our book giveaway way back then.
Yes, Angie!
Angie Mena is an architect and Osman's friend from college. She works in the architecture firm Va Design Group, and she recommended Osman's best friend, Pablo, to work there. And later on, Pablo recommended Osman, so long story short, they were all co-workers for a few years. The firm was started by two friends, the architect Victor Rojas and the structural engineer Alonso Hernandez. Today, Angie is the head designer for the firm. She is the main point of contact with clients, leads all architectural design efforts, directs the construction documents, and helms the overall aesthetic of the projects in the office.
That's why we love her, because she's the boss, and she was wonderful to meet in person. The firm was also really cool to see, too.
Yeah, I really enjoyed seeing the office and the sketches and materials that they're using on some of their projects. The work is stunning.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Coincidentally, Va Design Group shares an office space with LHC Constructora, a construction company that was started by Luis Hernandez, who happens to be Alonso's dad. And remember, Alonso is the owner of Va Design Group, where Angie works. So, LHC and Va share an office and collaborate on projects often. I think that's so cool to have like an architecture office and a construction office in the same space. It's really interesting. Yeah. LHC also employs many talented people as well, including Francini Elizondo, the company's resident architect. She is the project manager, manages the supers, and is in charge of all submittals and change orders when they happen.
You know, as architects, you wonder, or at least I do, we wonder how other architects and designers operate in places outside of the U.S. This office did not disappoint. And it was also interesting to see how this partnership translated in the office setting. It looks truly collaborative. With Francini as the architect of the team, it was great to see another hashtag boss do her thing. Now, when speaking to her, she said what she really enjoyed about the jump from a traditional firm to the construction side was that she was learning a lot. In this industry, it's always beneficial for us to be out in the field and to see how things are being done.
So true. I value my time in the field and all I learn from contractors greatly. Well, I gotta say, our ARC Venture was hands down my favorite part of the trip. It was our very first ARC Venture with all of three of us together.
Yes!
We got to tour three different houses that Angie and Francini worked on. They told us about their roles, design intentions, and construction adventures. We'll tell you a little bit about each house that we got to see.
Yes. Okay. So the first house that we saw was this beautiful Mediterranean style home that had gorgeous arches everywhere. The house was made entirely out of concrete. The best part, the view. The house sat very high on a mountain slash hill with views of the ocean. Oh, so gorgeous.
So true. I enjoyed when Angie described the planning process and the driver of the design being two cross axes. In one direction, two gorgeous trees respecting the existing landscape of the site. And on the other direction, this jaw-dropping view of the ocean beyond. It was incredible. Mm.
Now, the house originally was just going to be one story with rooftop access, but then the client later decided to add a mother-in-law suite on the roof. And, well, let's just say I would like to be that mother-in-law. The house is just stunning. It's a beautiful design that utilizes all of what we know as basic design principles: shape, form, and sustainable design, cross breezes, and ventilations. But they do it in such an elegant way. And this was just house one.
It was. Can you imagine that was just the start? Mm-hmm. Then we got into our car and drove a few blocks to house number two. It had a bit of a tall fence and very tall trees behind the fence, so I couldn't tell from the street what we would be walking into. I was a little, not scared, I was intrigued. I was very intrigued. And boy, was I floored. We walked into a magical oasis. Okay, let me tell you guys. Nosara is already like a namaste, be one with nature sort of town. But this house, the landscape design, I really felt like I had just left the realm of existence and was transported to a higher ground.
It was very lush.
Mm-hmm. The complex had a guest house and a main house. First, we explored a two-story guest house with a living room bigger than my whole apartment. High ceilings, luxurious finishes, locally harvested wood against polished concrete and elegant tiles. It was very modern, but it still had a warmness to it.
Yeah, the materials and all of the details were really nice. I was looking at all of the finish details to see how all the materials came together, which can be really tricky in modern design since there's no trim to like cover up those connections.
Yeah, it was mm-hmm. so funny to see like up close looking at all of,
I was just, yeah.
all of the details, like how the frame met the wall and the door. Yep.
Always what I'm looking at.
Then we walked to the three-story main home. The facade had a tile that had a Corten metal look finish, which I was totally obsessed with. So here I am. I walk inside, still thinking about the facade. And when we made it to the kitchen, it looked really familiar to me. And then I realized my husband had worked on that project. He was involved in the construction document phase. So I remember seeing that model in the computer. He walked me through it once on the computer. Then the project took a whole new level, especially in my heart. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, it was so fun to learn that Osman had also worked on this house. And speaking of the model, though, Angie pulled up her phone and they had this VR software that was really awesome. You held the phone camera to the space of the main room and it showed you the rendered version of the completed space. As you moved the phone around the space, the rendering also moved with it, which was really awesome. I can imagine that's so helpful for clients so that they can see the space and how it'll really look at the end before it gets to a more final stage of construction, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there are so many possibilities for our field and VR. It's interesting to see where it will go. You can see so many details through it. Now that I say details, I remember that we spent a long time discussing which way to angle infinity pool edges. Do we want to look endless, or do we want to create a comfortable space to lay against it, or do we want to peek over it? It's a whole thing. I just love how nitty-gritty architects can get. It's an interesting part of our job and how our brain works. We really think about, okay, how are people going to use this space, this pool? What can we do to make that more comfortable, more efficient? Even if it's something as tiny as the detail of a pool, but it's so important.
It really is. I mean, you have to make sure that those details work, or it won't matter that the overall design of the space was great, right?
Seriously. Well, we went through all the floors. It was a hike. I really liked the look of the house, but I don't know if I have the stamina to live there, or maybe my heart health would get better.
Yeah, it was a lot of stairs. You'd be very fit living there.
Yeah, I would get my 10,000 steps and then some.
Yeah.
It was definitely
just by going to breakfast.
It was definitely worth the trek for the bathroom finishes. I was so enamored. You remember? With the blue, black and white wall pattern. We did a little photo shoot of me against the wall tile. I looked really ridiculous, but it was fun. Then I took a video of Lizzie pretending to wash her hair. Good times. Let's do it again.
Listeners, that'll explain some of the photos that you'll see in our social media of this miming of.
I mean, we did really take advantage of the nice spaces as much as one can when it's still in construction.
When our tour was nearing the end, Angie discussed the importance of scale, what drove the design decisions behind the location of the main house on the site. It was a very tall structure compared to everything else around it, so they opted to place the home at the end of the lot and work the landscape in front so that the house could blend in from the street level with the rest of the landscape. It was pretty genius, and even more special to hear Angie discuss it.
Yeah, it was really smart how they sited the project and just so fun to hear all of the thought processes that they had going into it.
Then Angie had to go. We were sad because she was getting a certification on design thinking. So then we got happy and she had to go to class. Also, she's now certified.
Yeah, a year later.
That's what happens when a year passes.
Yeah. So anyway, what up, Angie?
Whoop, whoop. I was so impressed with her. She's running the show at her firm, going to school, being a mom. And on top of that, now she's preparing to apply to grad school. She's doing the things. Yes. I checked up with her. Like, I messaged her today. Hey, yeah. What's going on with you? And we caught up. She's going to grad school. Okay. We're just so excited with her, by her, for her, all the things. Before we end this charrette, there was one more house left in our ARC venture.
Yes. So the third house that we went to was one that Francini was the project manager for. And it was another really modern house that was set back from the street. The landscaping hadn't been put in yet, but the house was still really striking. It was an L-shaped house with a freestanding guest house, and the two structures were wrapped around a courtyard with a pool. The cool thing about the form of this house was that the bottom of the house's L shape was only built on the second story and up, so it created a really nice covered area at the edge of the courtyard for an outdoor kitchen. And in the ceiling of this covered part, there was this long slot, and it turned out to be a waterfall that poured into the pool below.
I remember looking at this entry. It was nice, even with just dirt and sand. That courtyard area was like a whole second outdoor living room area.
Yes. Inside the house, there was a really dramatic stair along one side of the double height main living space. And on the second floor, all the showers in the bathrooms were these indoor-outdoor showers. Technically, they're outside the envelope, but they had a roof and high enough walls that it felt private, but there was still fresh air coming in.
It was interesting because technically it was outdoor shower, but it still felt really private and decadent.
Yeah. And I think the final thing that was really cool was the accessible roof. There was a really nice patio area and a covered outdoor kitchen on the roof of the house that got you up, that you got to up a spiral staircase. Then to top it off, you could go up another stair to the top of the kitchen roof, which is essentially the fourth floor. And the views from both roofs were amazing.
They were. They really left an impression. The stairs did too. You know, I don't encounter spiral staircases as much as I did in Osada. And so pretty too. I think the state's codes keep us from doing them often.
They have to be really big for you to be able to do one, like to meet the code here.
Yeah.
Now, Judy, you mentioned, you know, ecotourism at the beginning of the charrette, but I would like to think that the country as a whole has this whole like sustainable practice as a focus, or at least that's what I noticed while we were there. Almost every restaurant had eco-friendly straws and recycled containers, and the firm VAD Design Group is no different. Before we saw the houses, we met Angie and Francini at their offices, and we got to learn about some of their sustainable practices.
Yes, it was a treat to learn how important sustainability was for their firm. Not just talking the talk, but walking the walk. I also really liked that we got to visit three projects in three very different stages of construction. It made it more fun for me, like more to learn.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. It was great to see how focused they were on sustainability, especially in the materials they choose, not only considering if they're local, but also the process of how they're made.
Another thing that made this art venture extra special was that we were able to share it with Osman's niece, Alison. Alison is going to a technical high school where she is learning drafting because she is interested in pursuing architecture. She was young when Osman was in architecture school, and watching him modeling and working on projects left a big impression on her. Then, for her to have the opportunity to go on this wonderful site visit with us, she said she felt very inspired. And I was inspired and excited for her. Our future she-builder.
Yes, our future she-builder. She's about to graduate, so congrats to Alison.
Yes, congrats. All right, so we've mentioned Francini and Angie a lot, but we also have to give a shout out to a fellow She Builds podcast ally, friend, and fellow architect, Pablo.
Pablo is great. He's like a second brother-in-law to me. He used to work at VA, leaning more towards the construction side. He was the contact person between the client and the GC. He handled CA, basically, making sure the construction goes along with the design intent and solving design problems that arise on site. Today, he's a project manager at a lush hotel in Nosara. He handles day-to-day items as well as current and future construction projects for the hotel.
Sounds like a future arc venture for She Builds podcast ladies to go visit Pablo at these hotels.
Definitely. Anyway,
so.
Round two.
He was great. He helped us so much when planning this trip. He was giving us recommendations, and he, like we said, he accompanied us during those site visits. So, yay, Pablo!
Yes! Muchas gracias a Pablo.
See, so the first phrase that we learned as soon as we landed in Costa Rica was the phrase pura vida. It directly translates to pure life, but Costa Ricans or Ticos use it as a positive response to everything. This trip was a great example of the pura vida lifestyle, and it's definitely something that I want to bring back with me from this trip.
Well, it was fun reliving our trip. I hope that it was a fun charrette for listeners too. Please let us know what topics you would like us to have charrettes on, and you might hear a future episode based on your suggestion.
Yes, please let us know what you thought of our show. We really value your input and feedback. So tell your friends, your fellow travelers, your Ticos, your Costa Ricans. Tell them all to give us 5 stars on iTunes and Spotify. Write us a review, and this will all help us reach a wider audience and for more people to learn about stuff with us.
She Builds Podcast is a member of the Gable Media Podcast Network. Gable Media is curated thought leadership for an audience dedicated to building a better world. Listen and subscribe to all the shows at Gable Media. That is GABLmedia.com.
You can email us your thoughts at shebuildspodcast@gmail.com. Leave a comment on our website, shebuildspodcast.com, or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at shebuildspodcast and on X at shebuildspod. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Pura vida.
Pura vida.
Pura vida.
Actual Costa Ricans and a tico and a, you know, or... Ugh. I was like, who? I thought it was like Tio Tico. I was like, who the hell is Tio Tico?
'Hey there, architecture enthusiast. Nikita Reed here, inviting you on an incredible journey through time and space with my podcast, Tangible Remnants. Historic preservation and sustainability. Let's go ahead right now and debunk the myth that they are opposites. In fact, they are two sides of the same coin, shaping our collective future.
In a work environment, it has been challenging because I've had to probably do more than double just to make sure that I quote unquote fit in. But the environments that have allowed me to do me on the front end, I've been extremely successful.
You look at all these PhDs, they've built that on the backs of our elders.
Absolutely.
What they consider themselves to be experts at is what they've worked with us to achieve.
I know we have to prioritize people before products and before place.
Join me as we unravel the stories of historic buildings shaped by the people of a specific era and often influenced by race and gender. These tangible remnants are windows into our past and guidepost for the future. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe now to Tangible Remnants. Let's explore the interconnectedness of architecture, preservation, sustainability, race, and gender.